The Good morning. Y'all pray for me. I'm real nervous. Terry asked me to sing this type of song for you, so y'all pray real hard. He loves bluegrass music. And let me tell you, he's the greatest dad that he didn't have to be. And for that, I'm so thankful for the men in our church and the men in my life that God's put there. And we have such a special family here, and a lot of you guys, I consider you. My dad went home to be with the Lord when I was 27 years old, and I miss him as much today as I did the day I lost him. But the role that you fill, I can never thank you enough. Oh, I didn't want to do that. Now sing. Sorry.
Heavy and the road is rough and long. Sometimes my feet get weary and so but a brighter day is coming soon. I'll step on heaven's shore and I won't said my last goodbye, I'm gonna see my Savior standing at the door. Then I'll hear him say, "You're welcome. All your cares are left behind, and I won't have to worry anymore. Troubles will be over and I'll rest forevermore. My eyes will be on Jesus and my heart will be aglow and I won't have to worry anymore.
Memories of, I don't know if I ever told my daddy that I loved him. Thank you, Miss Gay, for those words. Now, one thing she said stuck out to me. She said, I've been saved ever since. And I know it's true that not everybody had the opportunity of being raised in a Christian home. But you can be the one that starts the legacy. Amen. See, if you get saved by the grace of God, you're not the same. You're not what you used to be, and you never will be the same if you get saved, because you're made alive spiritually when God comes into your heart. I'm glad to be here this morning, and I'm glad to be here on Father's Day. I miss my dad. It's hard for me to imagine. I was talking to my mother yesterday. My dad's been gone for 9 years, but it seems like yesterday to me. You know, sometimes if I dream about my dad, we're always in church. We're either in church or we're outside of church, but, you know, that's what I remember about my dad. Now, my dad was a godly man. He's the greatest man I've ever known. He was a preacher. He was faithful. Now, you know, someone said, well, it's because he's a preacher. No, I'll just be honest with you. Some preachers are pretty rotten, okay? Some of them are. I mean, some of them, you get away from church and you say, what in the world? I'm just kind of like this. I'm surprised God hadn't struck them with lightning. You ever seen one of them? Here's why my dad was a great man. He was better away from church than he was at church. You see, because I've heard him preach a lot of times, and I got notes in some of my Bibles where he preached. But folks, he lived it. I went to work with him many times, and I was at home with him. He's just like you and me. He'd get tired. He'd get frustrated. But he was always God's. You know, being a dad, being a parent, it is extremely important. And I want to share with you this morning, I want to preach on the attributes of a godly father. And I've got 9 of these, so I don't know if I'll get them all, okay? I'll be conscious of your time, and I want to really follow the Holy Spirit. But I want to tell you, fathers are important in the home. Amen. Very important in the home. Well, mothers are important in the home, right? We've had Mother's Day, and I'm glad to see you here on Father's Day. But Dad, you have an important job. You know, if you begin, and I did some study. I'm not going to read a bunch of statistics to you this morning because you already know the statistics. You know, I will only say that one out of, you know, if you just look at how many children are raised without their dad and the impact that it has on them, it does. You know, mom, she does her very best, and I know there are possibly even some here this morning that you're raising them and you're doing your very best. I want to tell you, I commend you. And we appreciate you being here this morning and having them in the house of the Lord. And I can remember when I was growing up, there was a dear lady and a very good friend of mine. We grew up together. Every Sunday, she was faithful coming to the house of the Lord and bringing her kids. You know, a lot of times she'd pray for her husband. A lot of times we'd go, and I can even remember going and visiting, trying to invite him to come. But for years, she came faithfully by herself. But I can remember one time when God spoke to this man, and, you know, just like before, one of the deacons of the church went over to the house to invite him to come. And, of course, you know, sometimes I can't do it. I don't have the right words. But there's a little boy come up to him, got a hold of his breeches leg, and just shook it like this. And he looked down, and all the little boy said is, "Why don't you go to church?" He said, that night, the words of that little boy haunted me. He said, I couldn't sleep. And they had a den that he had built onto the back of the house. And he went into that den. He said, I was up all night. He said, about morning, me and God did business. He said, I got down on my knees beside that ottoman in that den. And I asked God to save my soul. Now, don't tell me. You know when you can get saved? You can get saved when you're willing to do business with God. A lot of times people come in, I can preach the very best that I can, and the Holy Spirit can move and speak to your heart, but you ain't going to get saved till you move and ask God to do something on your behalf. He got down and asked God to save him. God saved him right there in the den by himself. Can I tell you that there wasn't a theologian with a Bible trying to explain every verse? It was just him and the Holy Spirit dealing with his heart. Now he got saved. And you know he'd come to church. Because it was different when you know. You know, can I tell you something? It's hard to miss somebody you don't know. That's why people don't have a burden to come to the house of God. They don't know God. He come to church. Let me tell you what he's doing right now. He's pastoring True Gospel Baptist Church. And you know, Sister Gay, he's been saved ever since. If you're here this morning, you don't know Christ as your personal Savior. Most importantly, you need to know Him. Now, I want to share with you the attributes of a godly father. And I want to just give you this because I gave it to you for Mother's Day. It's the origins of Father's Day. On July 19th, 1910, the governor of the U.S. state of Washington proclaimed the nation's first Father's Day. However, it was not until 1972, 58 years after President Woodrow Wilson made Mother's Day official, that the day became a nationwide holiday in the United States. Now, here's something else that I found. And I had mentioned to one of the deacons about Father's Day, and you know, I said, we might have a good crowd. You know what they said? They said, it won't be the same as Mother's Day. They said, people don't come to support their fathers like they do their mothers. This is what it said. It said, the campaign to celebrate the nation's fathers did not meet with the same enthusiasm, perhaps because, as one florist explained, fathers haven't the same sentimental appeal that mothers have. Now, I know that, you know, it's kind of like people say that, you know, you're raising children and when they get old, the boys gravitate to their mothers and the girls gravitate to their dads. Sometimes my mother, she says, or my wife, she says that to me. She says, I just can't believe how our daughter just thinks you're the greatest thing. She said, I was the one that sat in the parking lot at night while she was having soccer practice. I was the one when it was volleyball, and I was the one with the other kids asleep waiting. I was the one that did this. She said, but she thinks you can't do no wrong. Now, folks, let me tell you, and I know some of you raising teenagers, there was a time I thought she's not listening to nothing I'm saying. Nothing. Nothing I'm saying. But when she got up and out on her own, which she needed to be in a position that she had to learn, it's amazing how much of that stuck. Now my wife says, she's just like you. Now I want to share these thoughts with you this morning. Number one, the attributes of a godly father is a father is a partner. Now I was beginning to think about these things and I had all these others and this is one that stuck in my heart. And I want to read some scripture to you. I got scripture in different places, but in the book of Ephesians, and I want you to listen to these verses. It says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, and so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, for no man yet ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 19 it says, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Now here's what a partner does. A partner is someone who walks beside you that works with you. You know, especially if you go into some of the primitive churches and some of the doctrines that I've heard in the past growing up, they say, well, the man is he's the head of the house and the woman just needs to do whatever she's told. That creates problems. If I were to start talking that way, there would be songbooks, pocketbooks, shoes, and everything else headed in my direction. I want to tell you what I believe about being a partner, okay? A partner is somebody, you know, to be the man of the house, you got to know when to be a lion and you got to know when to be a lamb. But if you haven't earned the respect to be the lion, you better be quiet. Because if you hadn't done what you're supposed to do in the tough times, you're not going to be able to lead. Now this is for me, brother, for anybody else. Here's the point. There may be some tough times that you need to stand. But you better do right in the meantime. That's what's difficult. It's like going down there to that job every day, knowing that you're a Christian, knowing that people are watching you, knowing that maybe next week, maybe next month, maybe even next year, somebody will need God. And they're watching how you live. And you need to live right in the meantime so that you have the right to witness to them when the tough time comes. Kind of like this, picking your battles. If you want to argue and fuss about everything, you're not going to win when you need to win. And sometimes you need to be understanding. And you know, this is the thing that I look at as me as a dad. The greatest thing, absolute greatest thing that I can do for my children is to love their mother. You know, we can talk about all these other things, but that's where the breakdown's at today. As we've come to a place in America to where our hearts are not knit together the way they're supposed to be. The Bible says, leave your father and mother and cleave unto your wife and you shall be one flesh. We might need to have some of that to know sometimes when to turn our kids loose and get out of their business. That's tough, isn't it? But that's something that God's had to work in my life. To help me to understand and help you to understand that we got to get to the point that it was God's intention that a man and woman would come together and be partners.
That's right.
And raise children. So number one, a father is a parent. Number two, or number one, a father is a partner. Number two, he's a parent. Now if he's a parent, I want to give you just a couple of scriptures. This is in 2 Kings chapter number 4 and verse number 19. It says, this is talking about the Shunammite woman's son. When he was out in the field with his father and his head began to hurt, the little boy, he began to be sick. And he said unto his father, my head, my head. And the father says, he said to the lad, carry him to his mother. Now I want you to think about this for just a minute. What do you normally do when your kid comes to you and they say, I don't feel good, go to your mama. My stomach hurts, go to your mama. I skipped my leg, go to your mama. His diaper needs changed, take him to his mother. Here we have it right here, right out of 2 Kings chapter 4, 19. He said, carry him to his mother. Now you know, if you got a little child or one on the way, you might as well get used to it. You're going to change some diapers. I'm not going to call any names because I don't want to embarrass my kids, but you know, I only got three. But I remember we were in the hospital with one of them and they brought him to me and mama was not quite ready to change the diaper. I had to do it. And I began to do some work and I thought, it's roofing tar. You know, sometimes we want the glorious things. You know, what's the glorious thing? It's to sit on the sideline when one of them's playing t-ball and they get a hit. That's my boy. But when she brought him to me and she said, here, deal with this. Sometimes that's the way it is, isn't it? You know, we go to work and we go through all day. And you know, you ever had a good day where you come home and you want to talk about, oh, I did this and I did that and we accomplished this and we sold this job and we did this and I got this award. And your wife looks at you and you can tell she's not in a good mood and she says, here, deal with this for a while. Fathers are parents too. You see, a godly father is going to be willing to fulfill his role. He's going to be willing to change a diaper. He's going to be willing to take his turn. In Psalms 127, verse 3 to 5, in the first part of the fifth verse, it says, lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of thy youth. And happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. You know, sometimes we'll have to admit it's more challenging than others raising children. But one thing I've learned about raising them is I need to understand some things about myself in order to be able to do it. One time before Kendra and I had children of our own, when we first got married, she worked in a daycare center. And being the kind of person she is, she just brought them home. And I'll tell you, it was different then than it is now. You know how different it was? I love kids. I would go up there and I would get on the floor and I'd have 20 little 3-year-olds and 4-year-olds crawling on my back. And I could play with them. I'd get down in the floor with them. And there were parents in that daycare center that were just looking for a place that they could push their children. One time she brought home this little boy with this curly hair and he was the cutest thing. But he lived in a home where his mother wanted to do nothing but run the streets. They didn't know where his daddy was. And this, they were just looking, basically, and they even said this, for somebody that they could give him to. And she brought him, and he looked at me, and he always, I noticed he was always staring at me, but he wouldn't talk to me. And on Wednesday night, one night, we were headed to church, and we went through the McDonald's drive-in, and I got an order of French fries. And I took those French fries out, and I turned around, and I handed them to him, and a big old smile come across his face. And from then on, he became my friend. But you know the problem in his life is he didn't have a dad that was a parent to him, somebody that was willing to love him, somebody that was willing to care for him. Another one that she brought home was a little boy and a little girl. They were sister and brother. The little girl was a year older than the boy, and their names were Johnny and Dana. And we brought them home, and we lived in a trailer, and the bedrooms were on opposite ends. So we wasn't going to put them on that way on the other end. And so we made them a pallet in the living room. And I remember the life that they lived. They were being raised by their grandmother. And it was very difficult because they didn't really know what shape mom and daddy were in or where they were at. But I remember going in there, and I'll tell you one thing about this little girl. She would never, ever have anything whatsoever to do with me. She would never get near me. She would never let me touch her. She wouldn't let me talk to her. She avoided me as if I was some kind of a monster. And then I found out later in her life, it was because every man that she had ever been around had abused her and done things to her that they should not do. They were not parents to those children. Now, little Johnny, he wanted to be my friend. He wanted somebody to play ball with him. He wanted somebody to have fun with. But it really, the picture really stuck in my mind when I went in there one night to check on them, and they were laying on a pallet and they were holding hands asleep. Why? It's, you know, let me tell you something. Children are supposed to be taking care of their brothers and sisters. Mom and daddy's supposed to be taking care of them. I can't tell you how many people I know right now. I know one young man, he said, if I didn't have a little brother to take care of, I'd leave home. God forbid. You see, dads are parents, and they're supposed to be parents. And I can remember, and I didn't know anything about parenting, but I can remember being in church, and I had those two little kids, and, you know, I was trying to teach them some discipline because they didn't have any. And I can remember standing up in church and speaking one time and something that God gave to me. And in my spirit, He told me, the Holy Spirit said, if you were as good a Christian as you want those kids to be children, you'd be all right. And it was convicting to me. And sometimes that's our trouble as parents. If we would get right with God and be as good a Christians as we try to get our children to be, we'd be better examples to them. But the truth is, in a home, you have to have grace. You have to have mercy. You have to have forgiveness. Because without it, you'll never be the parent that God wants you to be. And when I said that, I looked in the back of the church, and there was an elderly lady back there. When I said that, she just nodded her head. I knew I'd hit that one right. Let me tell you something, we need to listen to those that are older than us, that have already been down that road, that have that wisdom, that have already walked that path, even as young parents. See, a father is a partner. He's a parent, and he's a provider. And I can remember when I was growing up, seeing my dad go to work. You know, problem we have now, down at where I work, somebody gets a runny nose, you don't see them for a couple of days. You know, all you got to do, you go, and here's what you say, we'll get you a doctor, we've got to have a doctor's note. Why you got to have a doctor's note? Because you know they're going to miss every Monday after a holiday. It's just a given. It's almost like they set you up to let you know they're not going to be there on Monday. On Friday, I think I might be sick Monday. There's too much of that. You know why there's too much of that? Because people have lost their ethics. See, when I was growing up, my daddy went to work whether it was rain or shine, whether he felt like it or not, or whether he was a good thing or not, or whether the job paid real good or not. And I can remember one time he told me this, and it stuck out in my heart and my mind. He said, son, if you'd agree to work for a man for 50 cents an hour, you give him an honest day's work. If you agree to work for a man for $50 an hour, you give him an honest day's work. Let me tell you what the scripture says. This is not a popular verse, but here's what it says. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse number 8 says, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house. He hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Now that's what the Bible says. I didn't write that down. But that's where we're at today. Let me tell you something. There shouldn't be any daddies called couch potatoes. I just can't help it. What we ought to do is realize our responsibility and get up and do it. I saw my daddy go to work when he had a fever of 103 and get out there and work and climb ladders and paint houses and then go to church and preach because he was a man of God and he was faithful. You know, the scripture says it is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. See, a father is a provider. A godly dad is not going to be a deadbeat. He's going to do his part to take care of his family. And here's the point. He will not ask someone else to do what he is supposed to be doing. He will not do without to give his children. He will do without to give his children what they need and often what they want. And I've seen my dad do that all my life. You know, the truth is, I'm just going to be honest. If I look at my life when I'm gone, my kids are going to have a bunch of stuff. They're going to have a bunch of stuff to deal with. They're either going to split it up between themselves or they're going to sell it, but they're going to have a bunch of stuff. Now, I'm going to tell you, when my dad passed away, he didn't have a bunch of stuff. Because of the life that he lived, and this is where we're at in America today. I didn't know this was going this way, but here's where we're at. People are not willing to go to work and work a job and accept the pay that they get and live that life and live godly. They'd rather have you work and steal what you have. Let me tell you, that's the problem in America today. I learned those values from watching a godly father that understood his responsibility to be a provider. Well, why was that? Well, part of that, and some of you might be familiar with this, he left home when he was 14 years old because he was raised by an alcoholic. And when God saved him when I was just a little baby, my mother told me the story, he's been saved ever since again, amen? And he said, I don't want my life to be like the life that my dad had. I don't want my life to be like the trouble that I had in my home. And when you get this stuff ingrained and enriched in your heart, you'll understand that there are attributes of being a godly father that are missing in America that have so much value that if we have them, we can see our children changed and go in the right direction. Another attribute of a godly father is that he is a priest. And I want to give you why I think this way. In Job chapter 1 in verse number 5, this is where Job prayed for his children. He said, and it was so that when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that all my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. And it said, thus did Job continually. Now here's something I want you to understand as a godly father and being a priest. If you've never done this, perhaps you need to. Have you ever went into your children's bedroom at night after they're asleep and just laid your head on their head? Rubbed their hair and prayed for their future? You ever prayed for your little boy that one day God would send him the kind of wife that he needs to have? That God would send him a Christian? That right now, somewhere there is a little girl or a little boy that one day your child's going to marry. And you can go ahead and start praying for them. That God would be in their life. That God would bless them. Have you ever been concerned about, well, what have my children done? What are my children doing when they're away from me? Here Job said he did it continually. He prayed for them. And he represented them. Now what does a priest do? He represents the people to God. And as a father, you represent your children to God. Well, what does he do? He prays. Pray for your children. He stands in the gap on their behalf. It's where you stand before the Lord and you're a representative on their behalf, that you're lifting them up before God, asking God to bless them. Do you pray that God would bless them? I want God to bless my children more than he blessed me. Amen. You see, perhaps one of my children one day will be a preacher. Perhaps one of my children will be a missionary. Perhaps one of my children will be a plumber. You didn't expect me to say that, did you? Do you know that the Bible says all that you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord? I want my children to grow up to understand that their lives on this earth are designed not for them, but to be an honor to the glory of God. And whatever they are, whatever they do, do it for His glory. But you can pray that now. See, a priest carries a burden. God forbid that as a father, I'm not burdened for my children. God forbid that I don't pray for them and have their best desire in my heart. You see, I've heard it said that a mother is never happier than her least happy child. What about a father? What about a father? A father ought to be like that one who had the prodigal son. You see, I believe every day he was doing this. I believe you got one that's out there somewhere in the hog pen. That's what you ought to be doing. You ought to be praying and you ought to get up every morning and go look. Because if you believe the Word of God, God can go to them wherever they're at. And He can put the burden on them to where they've got to come home. You be looking for them. Amen. And trust God that He'll do what He'll do. See, a father is a priest. A father is a pastor. You say, well, I'm not a pastor. In your house, if you're saved, you're a pastor. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 to 7 says, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them, in the ninth verse, thou shalt write them upon the post of thine house and on thy gates. You see, in America today, the number one place your children are going to learn what's right and wrong is in the home. Amen. It's not going to happen in the school. It doesn't matter what kind of school it is, okay? It can be a secular school. It can be a Catholic school. It can be a Christian school. It can be a school that costs you so much money you have to take and sell everything you've got. It's not going to happen unless it happens in the home. You see, As a father, being a pastor, he leads. In Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, I think there are two meanings to that scripture. Train them in the way that they shall go obviously means to train them about the Lord. It means to teach them about God. It means to build a root system in them that runs real deep. You see, because one day the winds are going to blow real strong and they're going to have a foundation that helps them stand. But it also, I believe, it means this. It means to train them according to their original gift or bent. It's kind of like the star athlete who has a son and he thinks, well, my son is going to be a star athlete. I was a football player. He's going to be a football player. But God has a sense of humor. And He sends you one that likes to do painting and drawing and likes to play a musical instrument. And it might be drums if you hate drums. It might be a guitar if you hate a guitar. It might be a horn if you hate a horn. But if you're going to be right with God, you're not going to try to live your life through your child, but you're going to help them become the best they can be for the honor and glory of God. Let me tell you the worst example that I see right here. It's when you go to a ball game and it's peewee. And you got a dad standing over here on the sideline, and he's screaming and cursing at his son because he didn't do good playing ball. Then you find out when you talk to the little boy, he don't even like to play ball. What's wrong is dad doesn't have his heart and his mind right, and he doesn't even understand what this scripture right here is talking about. God forbid, don't live your life through your kids. Train them to be what God wants them to be, because God might have a plan for them, and you got to listen to the Spirit to know how to send them down that road. Amen. He leads. He teaches. He's an advisor. How about this one? You got to be a listener. Now, folks, I've had to learn this. All day long at work, I make decisions just like that. I mean, I'm a stress addict, okay? I'm one of those kind of people. This is what I'd love to do if I could. I'd love to be an ER doctor at Grady on Friday and Saturday night. That's the kind of stress I like. That's the way I like it. That's the way I like it to be. And when I'm at work all day and it's just like that, my wife will call me sometime and she'll just want to talk. And I'll say, okay, spit it out, spit it out. You see her shaking her head. You know what I've had to do? I've had to learn to woo. Let me tell you, having little children come to you, when they come to you, let me give you a word of advice. Well, I don't care what you're doing. They're not going to always come. There's going to come a time when you're going to look for them and they're not going to be found. They're going to be doing their own thing. They're not going to want your advice anymore. When they come to you, you slow down enough to listen to them and let them speak to you, because you can't give words when you need to be listening with your ears. And as a pastor, that's the same thing. One thing I know is sometimes when people come to me, I don't need to be quick to give them an answer. And the truth is, I'll just be honest with you, I don't always have the answers. I probably more often than not do not have the answers. But sometimes people need a listener. And as the pastor in your home, sometimes as a dad, you just need to listen. And you need to let them speak and tell you what's in their heart. Because if you've done the job you're supposed to do up to this point and you fulfill these other things, they already know. And God may be working in their life to help them step to the next level. You know, sometimes what you need to do is walk through it with them and let God speak to them and let them grow in their relationship with God. And you're just a helper. You're an advisor. You're a pastor. Because the church is a family, and in your family, you need wisdom. Oh, I need wisdom so bad. I want God to give me wisdom, skill at living. And you need grace. Can I tell you, your kids are going to make mistakes. Your wife's going to make mistakes. Let me tell you one thing I know, man, no matter how much you know, you're going to stick your foot in your mouth right up to the knee. And you might as well accept that now and understand that you're going to need grace. And in the home, you need forgiveness. You need forgiveness. And you need understanding. And I prayed that God would give me that, because you know what? None of my children are the same. They're not. Those people you work with, they're not the same. People in this church, they're not the same. They don't have the same personality. They don't have the same attitude. They don't look at things the same way. And you got to listen and have understanding. See, a father is also a pattern. Now what about that? Any of you have patterns on your shirts? And you look down at it and you start running through the pattern, and all of a sudden you come across a little knot somewhere. And there's a little bump somewhere, especially if it's spun cotton. You'll find a little bump here and you'll find a little bump here. Now the pattern at a distance, it tells a story. It's consistent, but it's not perfect. It's something that can be followed. It's something that can be remembered. But as I stand here before you this morning, God forbid that I tell you got to be perfect. I'm not. But here's the thing about a pattern. There's enough consistency about a pattern that when you think about it, you think about the things that stick out the most. See, if the pattern is a pattern of crudeness and abuse and a pattern of meanness, then that's what's going to stick out. But if it's a pattern of godliness, if it's a pattern of somebody that loves God, you're not going to be perfect, but the pattern is going to tell the story. Can I also tell you this, as being a dad, being a pastor, being a priest in the home, there are times that you might need to just get your kids and set them down and look them in the eye. And say, I'm sorry. Said, Dad don't know everything. And I'm still learning. I had one of mine ask me the other day. They said, have you learned anything since raising Jessica and coming to us? I said, yes, boys, I have. I'd love to say I got it all right. I know I didn't. Well, I believe the pattern tells that I tried. You understand that this morning? See, a father also is a picture. A picture of Christ in the home. It's, well, I don't know about that. I'm not sure I can follow that. I want to give you scripture in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6. It says, because you're sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. See, a father is a picture of Christ. And the word Abba Father is like crying, Daddy, Daddy. It speaks of closeness and relationship. See, when my children come to me by the tone of their voice, their body language, and they say, Daddy, I know that I need to listen. If they say, Daddy, Daddy, I need to listen. See, I was gone all week this week, and I come in, and I want to tell you, my little one, he wants to be with Daddy. And you know what? I want to be with him. And when I look at this scripture and I understand what it means to be a picture and a picture of Christ, you say, well, why is that important? Let me tell you this. When your children are little and they're before they reach the age of accountability that God has spoken to their heart, the relationship that they have with you is going to have a lot to do with whether or not they believe and receive the teaching and the preaching from the Word of God. And I'll tell you that I know that's the truth because I've counseled with too many young people that will look at me and tell me that my daddy didn't love me, my daddy didn't care for me, my daddy was not there for me. How can I believe what you say about the Bible and this Heavenly Father that we have? You are a picture of the Heavenly Father. What kind of picture are you painting? And when I accept that responsibility, I'll just be honest with you, sometimes it's heavy. Because there's going to come a time in my life, God gave me these children, but He didn't give them to me to stay little forever. I'm going to have to hand them to Him because they're His, not mine. And I want to be able to do that. Number eight, a father is powerful. He's powerful because of his influence. And I'm going to try to hurry. I got one more. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 4, it says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." Now, I've heard several people try to make this comment about this scripture. They say, well, what that really means is you shouldn't be strict on your kids, because if you're too strict on them, you're going to cause them to go and really just rebel against you. Now, I think there is an element of truth in that, but I want to tell you what this scripture means. If you're going to train your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, the way you train them is you show them. And here's the problem in America today. Here's the problem in our society today. We want to tell them what to do, but we're not living it in front of them. We're not showing them what to do. And that's why when, you remember years ago on TBS Channel 17, there was a commercial where a man stormed into his son's room and he had a box of paraphernalia, drug paraphernalia in his hands. And he said, "Son, where did you get this? Who showed you this?" And the little boy said, "Dad, I got it and I learned it from watching you." You see, the tone that your children have, how they treat people in business, the words that they use, the attitude that they have, they get it from watching you. And if you'll fulfill these other things and teach them the right, you won't have to worry about them. They might rebel, but I want to tell you something, God's got their number. Okay, your job is to do what's right, whether they like it or not. Your job is to be a parent, not to be their very best friend. Amen. I didn't know all this was coming, but here it is. My job, because of influence, is powerful. In Ezekiel chapter number 7 and verse 7, there's a verse, I'll give you part of it, that talks about the sounding again of the mountains. And what that means is the echo. Have you ever been somewhere that you'll speak and your voice just goes out and it bounces right back and you hear it and you hear it and you hear it? You see, my dad's been gone for 9 years, but I still hear his words. I still hear the things that he said to me when I would go and sit on the porch and I would ask him questions when my heart was heavy. I still remember when I was wrong and he would put his hand on my shoulder. One thing that he used to always say, when I was going down the wrong path, I remember him putting his hand on my shoulder and simply saying, "Son, that's not the Lord's way." And it echoes. You are powerful because of the influence that you have. And if you have a godly father, you still hear that echo. But the sadness is, if you did not have a godly father, you still hear that echo. Because sometimes, and I have counsel with men that are 50 and 60 years old, and they'll sit and tell you about the pain and the burden that they feel in their life from a dad that has been gone for many years that was not the right kind of example. It's powerful. Then I want to give you the last one. A father is passing. He's passing. In 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse number 1, this is about King David and Solomon. It said, now the days drew nigh, now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong therefore, and show thyself a man. And keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. See, a father is passing. See, if I could, I'll tell you what I would do. I'd love to know that when my time comes to go, that just from a material standpoint, that I was able to buy all of my kids a house. That I was able to set them up with a bank account that they were able to live, and I didn't have to worry about that financially. And that's probably important. But let me tell you something more important. It's when you're gone, the life that you lived and the heritage that you leave your children is a godly heritage. So that they know no matter what they face in this life, that God is strong enough, He's big enough, He's great enough to help them stand and to make it through it. And when I think about it and I think about my responsibility as a dad, it does weigh heavy on my heart. But the truth is, your time to lead will pass. Your time to go to your dad and talk to him will pass. Your time to listen will pass. So I can remember my dad didn't live far from here. When I was heavy and when I was really having problems, it could be something at work. It could be something at church. It could be something I was going through. I'd go over and I'd sit on the rocking chair on the front porch. My dad was a good listener. And he had wisdom. And I'd sit there and I'd talk to him. And I can't tell you how many times since he's been gone, I wish I could do that again. And looking back on that, knowing that my responsibility is now, I have to listen to God. And trying to raise my children now, I won't always have this opportunity because it's passing. If you would stand to your feet with us. And I trust that maybe something said this morning was something that would help you in your heart or your life. I appreciate the Christian fathers in this church. I appreciate the mothers. I appreciate those that are doing their absolute best. And you know, sometimes I wish, honestly, I wish I had all the answers, but I don't. But I'll tell you somebody who does. His name is Jesus. He is the only one that can hear the entire aggregate of what's going on in our lives. Have you ever thought about this? I'm going to let them sing and we're going to pray. How many burdens there are that come before the Lord at any given time? You see, while I was out there in Texas this week and I got a call and they said this one went to the doctor and this one went to the doctor and this one, and I started thinking about those things and they were weighing heavy on my heart. And you know, then, you know, just like you, when you get out of town and your wife calls, say, these kids are killing me. And I get on the phone and I talk to them and my wife says this. She said, it's amazing how you being 2,000 miles away can speak to them and do more than I can right here in their presence. You know who you go to when you don't have anywhere else to go? You go to God. When the burdens are overwhelming and it's more than you can bear, you go to God. Or when you have so many troubles or so many needs that need to be met and you just don't know what you're going to do, it's overwhelming, you go to God. And I want to give you the opportunity this morning, if God spoke to your heart, most importantly, number one, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you need to know Him because your life is passing. Amen. And number two, if I understand the weight of these things because they're heavy on me, if you need help, come to the Helper this morning. And let God work in your life as they sing right now.